This lecture about Purim and the challenges of Purim is one of our series of lectures on the experience, the inner experience of special days on the Jewish calendar. What are these days supposed to feel like? What's supposed to be going on inside of our heads as we celebrate or commemorate these happy or sad occasions? There is a sefer, a book from a great 18th century rabbi, which focuses precisely on this issue. What are you supposed to feel inside? What's your emotional state supposed to be? What are your attitudes supposed to be during various occasions of the Jewish year? The name of the sefer is Yesod V'Shoresh Ho'avoda, the foundation and the root of worship. And it was written by a man named Alexander Ziskind, who was a great pious man from the town of Horodno or Grodno in Lithuania, 1700s. As we turn to the holiday of Purim today, I'm going to draw very extensively from the few pages that he has written dedicated to what Purim is supposed to feel like inside of us. The author, Rabbi Alexander Ziskind, begins by stressing the special importance of Purim and mentions that Megillas Esther was part of Kabbalah's HaTorah. He bases this upon words of the Holy Zohar, which says that when Moshe received the Torah, he and all of Israel received every aspect of Torah, including the book of Esther, including Megillas Esther. Because in the Megillah, you could look it up, it's Perek Tes, Pasuk Chof Gimel, chapter 9, verse 23. The verse reads, V'kibeil ha-Yehudim, and the Jews received, but received is in the singular tense. It really should read, V'kibelu ha-Yehudim, and they received, not, and he, the Jewish people, received. What is the meaning of the word V'kibel? Zohar HaKadosh says, Elado Moshe, de'ihu ha-Yehudim, klolo de'yehudoi. Kibel in the singular refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the personification of the Jewish people. Historically, this almost makes no sense. But philosophically, it makes great sense. Because the lessons of Megillas Esther and the lessons of Purim are basic Torah lessons. Yes, the story happened hundreds and hundreds of years after the Torah was given. Yes, the entire mitzvah is only a midrabbanon, it's not of biblical stature, only of rabbinic stature. But the underlying lessons, the motivation, the teachings of Purim are so fundamental that they are part of the Torah and they are part of Har Sinai and the experience of Matan Torah. So what then is this underlying theme of Purim, which is so important that it is rooted in the Torah itself? And Rabbi Alexander Diskind draws upon a phrase, a passage in the Talmud, in Meseches Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Talmud asks the question, why is it that we do not recite Hallel on Purim? We recite Hallel on all of the Moadim, Shoshone Yom Kippur aside. We recite Hallel on Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh. Why do we not recite Hallel on Purim? And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok in the Gemara in Meseches Kedushin says, because Kriyaso Zohi Hilula, the very reading of the Megillah, just reading the narrative of Esther and Mordechai, that itself is Hallel. That itself is praise and thanksgiving. This, says the author of Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvoda, is the fundamental meaning of Purim, and this is what our internal experience should be. Purim should be a day of thanksgiving, a day of praise to God, a day of recognizing God's miraculous interventions in the history of the Jewish people. Kriyosa Zohi Hilula, the reading of the Megillah. The essence of Purim is Hallel, praise to God, thanksgiving. And therefore, writes Rabbi Alexander Siskind, we must have this attitude all day long. An attitude of Hodo Gedolo Va'atzumo L'hamafli L'asos, a powerful and awesome thanksgiving to He who does such wondrous things as to help the Jewish people survive through tribulations such as Haman and the entire story of Purim. He raises the question, how can we say that what Purim is all about is this inner thanksgiving, this attitude of Hakoras HaTov, this attitude of gratitude and gratefulness to God? After all, the Talmud says that Loez Sheshoma Ashuris, that a person who understands no Hebrew, what we call today Hebrew, and hears the Megillah, he understands not a word of what he's hearing, is still fulfilled the mitzvah. How can that be? After all, how does he have an attitude of gratitude if he doesn't even understand the words? And the Talmud answers that question, because all that's necessary, says the Talmud, is Pirsume Nisa, and Rashi explains, anybody who's present during the reading of the Megillah, even if he does not understand a word of what he's hearing, and I would add, even a person who's deaf and can't hear the words, nevertheless, shoalines hashomin, people ignorant of Hebrew, or people hard of hearing, will ask, what's going on? What is happening today? What's the story all about? And we will tell them. We'll tell them in English, or in whatever language they understand, or in sign language, or we'll write it out for them. But we will communicate to them the essence of the story and the essence of God's goodness to the Jewish people. And they will have this attitude of gratitude to God as well, and that's what it's all about. In order to take us through the day of Purim, Rabbi Alexander Ziskind begins at the beginning, the night of Purim, and explains step by step exactly how a person can stimulate and arouse within himself or within herself. Let's not forget that Purim, the mitzvahs of Purim, apply to women as well as to men. How can we instill within ourselves this attitude of gratitude, this attitude of Hallel of Purim, the attitude of Hoda'a, of thanksgiving? And he asks, what's the best way to sit quietly and listen to the reading of the Megillah, or to read along quietly? And he answers in a fascinating way. It says, it depends upon the person. There are those of us who can very well concentrate with our mouths shut and just listen and concentrate to what the Baal Kori is reading and have this attitude of, wow, listen to this story. How grateful I am to a God who can arrange the accidents of history into such a intricate narrative with such a happy ending. If you can have this wonder attitude, this sense of, wow, thank God for this story, as you listen to the story quietly, then it is preferable, he says, to just listen quietly. Yoser tov la'odom hashisiko, better just to be quiet and to listen. But many of us get distracted and our minds wander here and there. Then and only then, Yoser tov la'odom sheyikro balachash im hashliach tzibur milo b'milo. Then and only then is it preferable to quietly read along with the Baal Kore, with the reader, to guarantee that as you read along, you will have this attitude of, wow, what a story. What a God who could arrange such a story. Fascinating. He then takes us step by step through the rest of the day. He emphasizes how important it is that first thing in the morning, before davening, one, be careful to perform the mitzvah of matonos lo evyonim, of giving charity to the poor. Why early in the morning? Why even before davening? He writes, b'chtei sheyuchal ho'evyon lo'hochin tzorchei hasuda, so that the poor person himself can celebrate Purim. If you're going to wait till 4 o'clock in the afternoon to give money to a poor person, he won't be able to use it to celebrate his Purim. So give it to him first thing out, first thing in the morning, on your way to shul, before you daven. And he even prescribes that we say a special Hashem Yichud, a special prefatory prayer, which reads, here I am now prepared to fulfill the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, of the mitzvah of nason titein, of giving charity, of pasoach tiftach, of opening our hands to the poor. So that's a mitzvah in HaTorah. And also the mitzvah saseh shel kabbalah, the rabbinic mitzvah specific to Purim, matonos levyonim. And the thing to be careful for, says or writes Alexander Dziskin, is to give the money to the poor person in a way that there is no biyush uvizayon, that the recipient is in no way made to feel ashamed or to feel uncomfortable in receiving the gift. The day continues, and one davens. Davens, hear the Megillah again, recite Al-Hanisim Mishmona Esrei, etc. And then you come home, and you come home from breakfast, for breakfast. And breakfast, too, writes Rabbi Alexander Dziskin, is a Seuda of Purim. It's not the main Seuda that will come later in the day after Mincha, but we all eat breakfast when we come home from shul. That breakfast, too, is part of the Seuda. But one should remember, and this is a theme throughout the Sefer Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvoda, of the importance of learning, of studying some Torah at the meal. Doesn't mean that you sit at the meal with a Sefer open, with a Gemara, and a Rambam, and Rishonim, and delve into the learning while you're eating. A Seuda is a Seuda. A meal, a festive meal especially, is a meal. But to study some Torah, after all, writes the Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvoda. We all know the pasuk in the Megillah, La Yehudim hoisa ora v'simcha. The Jews on that day had light and happiness. And what is light? What is ora? Ora zotora. Ora is a Torah. And therefore, because part of what we are grateful for on Purim is that we were once again able to study Torah to the fullest, therefore, every person should be careful to study some special Torah on Purim. I personally, the author does not write this, but I personally, and I follow some of my teachers on this, Purim is exactly 30 days before Pesach. And it is 30 days before Pesach that one is Shavalin V'Dorshin B'Hilchos HaPesach, that one begins to study the rules and the laws of Passover. And therefore, Purim Day is a day to study about the laws of Passover. But certainly, one should study. And Rabbi Alexander Dziskin says, one should study at the table. What's the curriculum for the table? Again, not a whole pilpul, not a whole lecture, a whole shayur, but rather, Yikro b'soch ha-se'udo tisho pesukim shel b'shalach v'yovo Amalek. He should read the story of Amalek. 9 verses, no more, at the end of Parshas B'shalach. And shlosha pesukim shel kiseitzei, the 3 pesukim, the 3 verses at the end of Parshas Kiseitzei, zochor et asher oso lecho Amalek. 10 verses, just read those verses. V'yachakach yilmad be'ezel limut shiyirtze. And then learn whatever you choose. So we're at breakfast. It's around this time that a person should send manos, send gifts, two gifts to a friend, and realize that this too is a mitzvah saseh midrabanon of mishloach manos. At this breakfast meal, this first meal of the day on Purim, be careful, writes Rabbi Alexander Ziskin, shelo yarbe b'shesiyah b'soch hasudah. It's not the time to drink. It's not the time to drink yet. Drink inspiring beverages, because after all, you want to be able to recite Birchas HaMazon, which is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, and you want to do that b'chavona atzuma, with awesome, awesome concentration. You can't do that if you're drinking at breakfast, so it's not time to drink yet. However, after breakfast, writes the author, now's the time to deal with a din, a rule in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Chayova Enosh Levasume Befuraya, that a person must, on Purim, Levasume, he is obligated to drink to a certain extent. And here is a passage from this great, great pious man about drinking on Purim, what it means and what it doesn't mean. And I emphasize the following few minutes of my quotations. They will be direct quotations and translations from this precious book. He writes, it never says, Chayav anosh lihishtaker b'purim, that a person must get drunk on Purim. It simply says, levasume, should get kind of mildly inspired, but certainly not drunk. And he quotes the Beis Yosef, in the name of the Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Orchos Chaim. This is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, quoting holy Rishonim, medieval rabbis. Chayav odo enosh livesumei befurim lo shiishtaker, chas v'sholom, writes the Beis Yosef. You should not get drunk. Shehashichrus isur gomurhu. Because getting drunk is an absolutely forbidden for a Jewish person to get drunk, even on Purim. More than that, ve'ein lecha avera gedola mizo, there is no greater sin, writes Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, there is no greater sin than drunkenness on Purim. However, drink a little bit more than you're accustomed to. Many of us never drink at a meal. So if we have one small drink, and by the way, the drink we're talking about is wine, not other alcoholic beverages. So if you have a little wine, normally you wouldn't have a little wine at 11 a.m. in the morning. On Purim day you do, that's enough. That's fine. You've done the mitzvah. He goes on to say, after all, what is the whole inner experience you're supposed to have on Purim? You're supposed to have an inner experience. You're supposed to have an emotional reaction. You're supposed to have an attitude which has content. That content is, thank God. Thank God that we have such a patron on high, such a protector up above, who protects us even from the schemes of the Hamans of the world. This is what we're supposed to be thinking on Purim. However, for many of us, it's difficult. How can we be thankful about the extinction of Haman when we're suffering through the pain of a Hitler? How can we be thankful that we finally got rid of a Hitler when we're still under the threat of nuclear bombings by a madman in Iran? So how can we be thankful? How can we be thankful when we have desperately sick people in our family? How can we be so happy and full of hoda'ah atzuma, full of great thankfulness, if we're poor, if we're struggling with all sorts of problems and issues of life? How can we do so? Writes Rabbi Alexander Ziskin, because so many of us have all these sorrows, V'libom dove aleihem kol hayom machmas eze de'oga v'tzar. Our hearts are always worried because of a problem, because of some pain, some difficulty. And we can't get into the mood of Purim. We can't get into the mood of thanksgiving. We can't get all excited about the heroics of ancient times. Einam yecholim lidchos hatzar milibasom l'smomach simchos shel mitzvah. Therefore, Chazal said, fine, take a little drink of wine. Hine hayayin yisamach levav enosh. Take a little bit of wine, and that little bit of wine will help you remove your worries, will take the edge off some of your worries, and will enable you not to jump up and down and shout for joy, but to appreciate gratefully the goodness of God and what He has done for the Jewish people throughout our history. A little bit of wine. V'chol da'agosov nishkechu mimenu. We can momentarily forget our other worries. V'shore b'libo rak chedva v'simcha. And all we will have is happy gratitude, grateful happiness. Yimei mishteh v'simcha. And that's why all we're told to do is to reach a point where we're not quite sure about Oror Haman Baruch Mordechai. Can't quite make that distinction. But we're not supposed to drink so much that we forget, as he puts it, whether it's Purim today or Tisha B'Av today. We're not supposed to be stoned out of our minds. We're supposed to be able to retain our intelligence. And Chas V'Sholom, not reach a point where no fail melo komo so arza shochev ke'ev en dumom, where we fall upon the ground in a drunken stupor. V'lo yodayim hu bein hachayim or bein hamesim bakover, not really be sure if we're alive or dead. After all, from such drunkenness that I now say we see in our own times, often in very, very choshuva circles, in yeshivos, etc., people reach the point where they have long crossed the red lines that Rabbi Alexander Ziskin urges us not to cross. And we reach even the point of Chas V'Sholom, he writes, of Hakeyu Fotzoa Petza V'Chaburo Mako Trio Be'eze Ever, where we hurt ourselves or hurt others, where we drive and pose mortal dangers to other people and to ourselves and to other people in the car in a drunken state. How can you even imagine, he writes, Ech yale aleiv shum bar seichel? How can any person with a brain on his head think that Chazal told us to get drunk on Purim? Al shichrus gadol kaseh. No way. A little bit of wine and that's it. Nothing more than that. Yizoher ha'odom ma'od ma'od. A person should be very, very careful, he writes. B'shsiyas mashkin ha'mishakrin yoser midai. To ever drink intoxicating beverages more than in moderation. Afilu b'simchas Purim, even on Purim. And he goes on to say, Leval horimo for mecho l'mashuos b'hashoas hayetze shuhu mitzaveh al pidina de Gemara. Don't tell me, well, it's a mitzvah, the Gemara says, it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. We hear this today, I hear this today, Rabbi Warner, how can you be so against drinking in Purim? It's a mitzvah, the Gemara says, you're obligated. Well, I'm answering not in my words now, but in the words of one of our holiest rabbis from the 1700, from 200 years ago or more, who already anticipated these difficulties and who said, don't say it's a mitzvah. No way, no way that Chazal would give us a mitzvah to get drunk. But you drank your wine. It's 11, it's noon, it's 1 p.m. Now it's time to go and to daven mincha. And to daven mincha with great kavona, and to ring mincha to tell people, hey, let's be sure we get together for Maariv. And then to have the seuda after mincha, because that's the major time for the seuda. And to eat the seuda. And he recommends to eat the seuda, to then go to shul for a minyan of Maariv, to come back and finish the seuda, and then to recite Birchas HaMazon. I must say that the Mishnah Brura, whom we today more or less follow him rather than other guidelines, he says you should not quite do it this way. eat part of the Seudah, go to Shul Daven Ma'ariv, come back and finish eating, and then recite Birchas HaMazon. But rather, eat, recite Birchas HaMazon, go to Daven Ma'ariv, then come back home and eat some more. You know, there is a question halachically whether one recites Yalev Yovo. You started eating the Seudah at 4 p.m., still daylight, still Purim day. Then you stop, you go on to Daven Ma'ariv. You come back and eat some more, and it's now 9 p.m., 10 p.m., it's already Monday halachically. Do you recite Al Hanisim or not? Well, the basic rule is yes, you do. However, Mishneh Berurah says best thing is finish your Seudah, bench. At that point, surely say Al Hanisim, Daven Ma'ariv, in Shul, Bitzibur, and then go on to a little more partying. But notice, the Yisod V'Shara Shravodas does not mention drinking during the Suda. The drinking, the little bit of wine that you take to fulfill the mitzvah of Chayev Inish Levasume, that's over and done with long before Mincha. Because you don't want to daven Mincha when you're intoxicated. So, you finish a little bit of drinking, then you daven Mincha with a clear mind, and you sit down to Seuda, no intoxicating beverages. Then you daven Ma'ariv and Ma'ariv Bitzibur. And not only Ma'ariv Bitzibur, but Ma'ariv and Shul. I must say this, use this opportunity. Very, very often nowadays, we find minyanim for davening formed in all sorts of places, in corridors, in airplanes, in catering halls, in the parlors of people's private homes. All right, there are times when you daven Bitzibur in these places which are not Batei Knesios, which are not synagogues, which are not shuls. But there's something very special about davening in the Beit HaKnesset. And therefore, rather than form a minyan with the people in your home by the Seuda this Purim night, if the Purim is over, and you want to daven Ma'ariv b'kavona, not intoxicated in any way, but daven Ma'ariv properly, the best thing is take your 10 people to shul, to the nearest shul, and daven there. This is the Purim that is prescribed for us by this great sage and saint, Rabbi Alexander Ziskind, the author of Yesod V'Shoresh Ravoda. And it is a moderate Purim. It is a happy Purim. It is not a Purim of hoilolos, of clowning. Rather, it is a Purim which is of halel, of hodo'o, of gratefulness to the one above for arranging the accidents of history in such a way that the Purim story ended happily, that the story of Jewish history is still being played out, but it is being directed by the ultimate director with a capital D, who will guarantee that everything we're going through in our history and everything we're going through now and may yet have to go through will come to a point where the difficulties will be resolved. The Hamans of the world, the Hamans of history will be gone. The Mordechais and the Esther will be triumphant. V'layehudim hoysa ora v'simcha v'sason v'kor. And we will indeed be able to experience on Purim Day, not drunkenness, not wild abandon, not chas v'sholom harming ourselves or others, not unbecoming behavior, but rather a Purim of ora, of Torah study, of simcha, of rejoicing with our families, of sason, of great joy, and of yikar. Yikar can be translated as kavod, of dignity, a dignified, happy, joyous, Torah-filled Purim. Afrei lechem Purim.